What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for our Friday morning look, our last look for this week, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. COVID-19 infections continue to rise. The Ministry of Health reported on Thursday that 874 cases have been reported in the last 24 hours. According to the Ministry, this means that positivity rose to 12.2%. 2 weeks ago, positivity was at 6.3%. The country has not exceeded 12% positivity since last February the 18th. On that day, it was 13.6%. Meanwhile, one death is reported due to the respiratory virus for a cumulative total to date of 8,184 deaths. The Ministry also detailed that they applied 7,156 tests, active cases total 5,242, while 5,147 people are in home isolation, divided into 5,130 at home and 17 in the so-called hospital hotels. Those hospitalised, they add up to 95 patients, divided into 87 in the wards and 8 patients in the intensive care units. Despite the increase in COVID-19 cases due to the activities of last Easter in the country, hospital capacity is fine and there is no increase in patients in intensive care units, the ICU, revealed this Thursday by the Minister of Health, Luis Francisco Sucre. The results have been as expected and there should be no concern since hospital capacity is fine, Sucre reiterated. In addition, there has been no increase in affected patients of the COVID-19 rooms in the country's medical centres. However, the official reminded the population that they must continue to protect themselves to avoid a further increase of new infections of the new coronavirus. He added that a carelessness in the use of masks has been reported in the country. Despite the increase in cases in Panama, things are being done well. People are getting vaccinated, and there is also a high percentage of people who are getting vaccinated, he said. According to Sucre, Panama is one of the countries that has managed the pandemic best, while others have even reached a seventh wave. The minister's statements came a day after revealing a positivity rate in the country of 11.2% in the epidemiological report of Wednesday. It was highlighted that no deaths were reported. Panama is debated more frequently in recent times with the interest of various politicians to divide territories and create new townships and districts. It was only in 1970 that details of the division of territories and the creation of new districts and townships could be obtained. In 2014, there were 4 new districts and 26 new townships, while for 2019, there were 4 new districts and 31 townships. The justification of the deputies is that those who criticize these actions do not know the needs of the communities and nor do they allow it to be done. What no deputy does explain is that once approved by the National Assembly and sanctioned by the President of the Republic, the new townships could each cost more than $2.5 million, considering only the construction of infrastructure for community boards, staff and budgets for operations. According to the law, to create a corregimiento in urban areas, they must have at least 3,000 inhabitants, while in rural areas the figure must be greater than 1,000 inhabitants. Each community board receives $110,000 from the Public Works and Municipal Services Program, in addition to the $500,000 it receives from each municipality for decentralization. The great detail in that the more townships there are, the more that each one gets is divided. Community boards have several sources of income. One of them is self-management by donations or by taxpayers. The second is the $110,000 from the Public Works and Municipal Services Program, given by the national government, of which 30% must be for operations and 70% for investment. Having more districts will increase the burden on the central government, which would have to budget more money for salaries and municipalities. Therefore, it would be necessary to sit down and analyze whether or not creating more corregimientos solves the population's problems. In recent weeks, the National Assembly has approved several bills to create new townships and districts, many of them endorsed by the Presidency of the Republic. The Administrative Unit of Reverted Assets, the UABR, of the Ministry of Economy and Finance, reported on Thursday that it does not know the detailed information about the 50-hectare landfill project in Amador, in the district of Ancon, despite the fact that it is the entity in charge of the custody and development of the reverted areas. In a statement, the institution disclaimed responsibility for the project, which is currently in the evaluation stage by the Ministry of Environment, Miambiente. In fact, its director, Fernando Paniagua, stressed that it is not a project that has been evaluated, nor does it have a formal request at the UABR. To date, we have not received a copy nor detailed information on what the landfill project consists of. We have not formally received any request, any query, neither by the company and investors who want to make the landfill, nor by the Panama Maritime Authority, Paniagua assured. The official also pointed out that it can be thought that in the case of a landfill for the use of the seabed in Amador, which apparently contemplates mixed economic activities, the UABR should be an integral part of it and be able to evaluate it, but this has not been the case. He explained that the landfill area joins the Amador Mother Finca, which is administrated by the UABR and which is also in charge of the custody and development of the reverted areas. Now, Paniagua's final message was clear. Definitely, at a given moment, any landfill project that contemplates mixed uses in Amador must carry the evaluation of the UABR. But in this particular case, we have not seen, nor do we have, information. This month, an environmental impact study arrived at the Ministry of Environment for the development of a 50-hectare landfill in Amador, in the Ancon district, which will be enabled for the likes of a theme park, a public beach, hotels, leisure, a business area and a marina. According to the environmental study, the project will be called Amador Maritime Development and the promoter is LGS Panama Tourism Development SA. Although the development involves 50 hectares of land in the sea, the environmental study specifies that the direct area of influence of the project comprises an area of approximately 156 hectares defined by aquatic and terrestrial area. Members of the Ciudadanos Pro Revocatoria movement presented on Thursday a protection of constitutional guarantees against the order to proceed for the construction of the new seafood market. The work is managed by the mayor of Panama, José Luis Fábrega, and is already in the bidding phase for a value of about $43 million on the Panama Compra portal. The protection of guarantees was presented in the court of the First Judicial Circuit of Panama in the civil branch and is directed against Agreement No. 24 of February the 15th of 2022, issued by the Municipal Council of Panama, by means of which the mayor is authorized to convene the public acts for the construction of the new seafood market. It seeks to annul the agreement, and in the Amparo it is stated, among other points, that the project did not have the proper disclosure to comply with the citizen consultation. Citizen consultation is a constitutional right, said Luis Pinedo, one of the spokespersons for the group that filed the protection of guarantees. A seafood market that did not pass a true citizen consultation was not part of any public hearing. A market that is not in a participatory budget, but in one that is imposed, violates the constitutional rights of many citizens, said Pinedo. In the proposal for the construction of the work, it was reported that 23 people participated in the citizen consultation. In addition, the evident violations of due process by the Municipal Council of Panama are established in the protection of guarantees, which by accepting as good a deficient act of citizen participation, which clearly contravenes the decentralization regulations. Likewise, it is argued that together with the affectation of the constitutional guarantees, it is facing the possible improper use of municipal funds obtained by the collection of the real estate tax paid by all Panamanians. Previously, the Ciudadanos Pro Revocatoria movement filed a contentious administrative lawsuit against the project on the 11th of April, considering that it does not have the endorsement of the Comptroller General of the Republic. The plenary session of the National Assembly approved on Thursday in the third debate Bill 808, which creates a trust for the reduction and stabilisation of the increase in fuel prices. The initiative was approved by 43 votes in favour, and now the sanction or veto by the President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo, remains. The project establishes that the Ministry of Economy and Finance must create a trust in the National Bank of Panama for the compensation, reduction and stabilisation of petroleum products. So far, it's not been specified where the funds will come from to feed this trust. In addition, it is established that the National Secretariat of Energy must periodically monitor the prices of petroleum derivatives. On the other hand, with 38 votes in favour and 2 abstentions, Bill 697, which regulates the commercialisation and use of crypto actives known as the crypto law, was also approved in the third debate this Thursday. With this new rule, if sanctioned by President Cortizo, the issuance of digital value, the tokenization of precious metals and other goods would be regulated. In Article 4 of Project 697, it is detailed that the Government Innovation Authority will include in the digital agenda of the Republic of Panama the digitization of the identity of natural and legal persons using distributed ledger or blockchain technology, including people not domiciled in the country who wish to use these services. Meanwhile, in Article 8, it is stated that natural persons located in Panama may freely agree on the use of crypto assets, including, without limitation, Bitcoin and Ethereum, as a means of payment for any civil or commercial operation not prohibited by the legal system. Another relevant point of this regulation is in its Article 9, which allows the possibility of paying taxes, fees and other tax obligations with crypto assets. The rule states that the bodies and entities of the Republic of Panama may receive payments directly or through processors or payment agents contracted for this purpose for taxes, fees and other tax obligations in crypto assets, including, without limitation, the Bitcoin and Ethereum, according to a regulation for the use of crypto actives for the payment of taxes issued by the General Director of Taxes of the Ministry of Economy and Finance in coordination with the Government Innovation Authority. And that's it. There we go. That's some of those things that are relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, compiled for you on this morning's breakfast show.